We begin the current daf, Masechta Zvachim daf Kof Beis. Begin third in lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins in the first wide lines, continuing the theme of the previous discussion, as the Gemara says, Kitanoi. This halacha from Rav, if Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen, a Kohen Gadol, it's actually a Machlokes Tanoim, as we'll learn in the following Braisa. The Braisa brings the Pasig with the discussion when Moshe Rabbeinu was by the Sneh encountering the Rabbeinu Shloil, Makadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem was sending him on a message, on a mission to Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu was refusing. And it says in the Pasuk, V'yichar af Hashem b'Moshe, that the anger of Hashem flared up against Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Pasuk says over there in Perek Dal, Pasuk Yudalad. He says, what do you mean, Aharon, your brother, the Levi, I know that he speaks, and he's going to come and greet you there, and he's going to be happy that you're the one that's being the Redeemer of the Jewish people. So Reb Shubin Karcha Omer, he says as follows, he says, Kol charin af shabatayra, wherever we find the flaring up of anger in the Torah, nema bay reishim, there's some residual, there's some sign that there was an anger over here. Sometimes it's with hitting, sometimes it's with rejection, sometimes it's with cursing, or some type of a negative comment, as we find in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf, where it says that, v'yichar af shal, says after they are a derogatory term, benavis hamardis, some type of derogatory because of the anger. It says, V'icharaf Elihu, it says, oh, it's a derogatory comment. Lo rabim yechkemu. It says, when V'icharaf Yaakov Barachel, when Yaakov got angry at Rachel, it says, Hatachas Elikim, some type of a term of disgrace, of derogatory statement. What do you think? I'm in place of Hashem? What do you want me to do? Create children for you? So that says, Yibshu Makarcha, whenever you find the term of V'icharaf, there's some type of a comment there, there's some type of an effect, a consequence that we see because of the anger. But here, this, although it says v'yichraf Hashem b'Moshe, we don't find any consequence that was an outgrowth, an outcome from this charoinaf. He disagrees. He says, no, avzeh nema b'yirashim, even in this situation, in this incident, we find that there was a consequence. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, in that pasuk, it says, haloi Aaron achicha Levi, but behold, Aaron, your brother, the Levi, don't worry about him. You don't want to be the one that's the redeemer because your brother's going to be slighted. Don't worry, he's going to be happy. Now, and that's Rav Shimon ben Yochi, but v'aloi kainu. What do you mean? Why is he calling him Aaron the Levi? Aaron was the kain and Moshe is the Levi. Oh, rather, Hachikama, this is what Hashem was saying. Ani amarti at the kohen hu Levi, says Hashem, I said you're going to be the kohen and your brother's going to be the Levi. Achshav hu kohen vata Levi. But now you're going to be the Levi and he's going to be the kohen. That's what it says, Aloi Aaron Achicha, who is supposed to be the Levi. I know that kidabi yadabahu. But because of this, that you're not doing what I'm telling you, that was the Chareinaf, where you find that there was a Roshim, and that's where Aaron merited to be the, to get to the kuna and not Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the sages say, Moshe Rabbeinu never got the kahuna ever. It was only during the Shibbutz Me'amalum, as we explained in the previous stuff, that then he was a kain, but beyond that, he was never supposed to and never did he get the kahuna. But for Yeshem, there are those that say that Loipaska kahuna ele Mezari Shel Moshe. Actually, Moshe Rabbeinu was a kain all the days of his life. And that's the opinion of Rav, who's like this Yashim, who said Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol. It only stopped after him, his children onward, they didn't merit the kuna. That went to Aaron and his brothers. Shneimak says, a pasuk in Divrei Yamim Aleph, it says, Moshe Ishalikim, Moshe the man of God, Banav Yikaru al Shevet Levi, his sons will be called on the tribe of Levi. Which sounds like, but Moshe Rabbeinu himself was not, he was actually a kain. And so Divrei Yamim says, a pasuk in Tehillim, Moshe v'Aaron b'chayanav, Moshe and Aaron was his kohanim. Ushmul b'karishamay, and Shmuel was from those who called out in his name. So you see that Moshe Rabbeinu was also called a kohen. So the Gemara says, my v'aymer, why does it have to bring a second pasuk? And that says the Gemara, because v'chitim, if you're going to say that first pasuk, l'doyris v'dechsev, that one in Divrei Yamim Aleph, was only talking about in future generations, it was written at a later point in time, when they were defining the lineage of the kohanim and the Levium, and that's why it was calling Banav Yukaru, the sons of Moshe will be called, because it wouldn't be appropriate to say that Moshe was called on Shevet Levi because he wasn't around anymore. It was only being defining the yichus, the lineage of those who were around at that time. So it was talking about his sons were on Shevet Levi. But regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, who do we see over here that he's not a Levi? Maybe he also was a Levi, not a Kohen. It just wasn't talking about him. That's why he brings the second pasuk, Moshe Aaron b'chayanav, where we see clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu was called a Kohen Gadol, like the Yesh Aimer, which was like the opinion of Rav that we brought in the previous stuff, although the other opinion, as we saw, disagreed and said that Moshe Rabbeinu was never a Kohen. Now, based on the Braisa we just introduced, so the Gemara asks, B'chol charin afshe b'tari nema b'yreishim, is that really so? it was a machlekes if this was an exception or not, but it sounds like, but every other place that it says a flaring of an anger, that there was a mark from that, there was a consequence. But the pasuk says in Shmos that Vayetze, that Moshe Rabbeinu went out me'im paroi b'chariyaf, he went out from paroi with a flared up anger. But we don't find that he said anything to him, we don't find any roishim, just see anger and that's it. On that in Rish Lakish, he says sitarei, Moshe Rabbeinu hit him on his cheek v'yatz, and he left. So although he didn't say anything, he gave him a slap, so there was a roishim. And that is the Gemara, Miyam Rish Lakish Hachi, can it really be this what Rish Lakish said in this interpretation? But the pasuk says in Shemais, v'nitzavta l'krosi asfas ir, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Paroi goes out in the morning to the Nilus and stand opposite him at the edge of the river, of the ark. V'amr Rish Lakish explained, what was Hashem telling him? Melechu. Hashem was telling him, look, Paroi is a king. V'hasbur upon him, and act appropriate when it says, v'nitzavta l'krosi, stand opposite him, and according to his greatness, you should prepare yourself opposite him, meaning show deference to him, because ultimately he is a king. Rabbi Yechonim, he gives the opposite interpretation. He says, no, Rashi, he's a wicked person, Hashem was telling to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'ha'ez panechabai, and have audacity to him. When it says, v'nav n'tzavt l'krasi, stand opposite, it means for war and to speak with audacity to him. But one thing we see, the Rish Lakish was saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem to act in deference and honor power. How could he give the interpretation that he slapped him when he left? That's the Gemara Epoch, you have to switch around the attribution of the opinions of Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechonon. Rish Lakish was the one who said it is a rush and be made panav, and therefore he's the one that says the Harinaf was that he slapped him when he left. However, Amar Biana, he says, La'ilam tehe emes malchus alecha, the fear of the monarchy should always be on you. So still, like it says in the Pasuk, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paroi all the way at the end, V'yarducha levedecha elai elayin. You're right, I'm not going to see you ever again. It's going to be makas b'chairis, we're going to be leaving here, and all your servants will come to me. Now, v'ilu l'didei lo'akloka amalei. But Moshe Rabbeinu did not tell the Paroi that you're going to come down, you're going to bow down to me, and you're going to tell us to leave, even though ultimately that is what happened, as the Pasuk says in Shemos Beis, that he called out Moshe and Aaron, come, get up, and please leave. But because of the ema of the Malchus, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say those words to Paroi. M'yechonam and Mahachi brings a different source, the Pasuk Malachim Aleph. V'yad Hashem ha'isa el Eliyahu, the hand of Hashem was to Eliyahu. V'yishanis masnav, he girded his loins. V'yaritz lifnei Achav, and he ran in front of Achav, meaning Achav the king was riding and Eliyahu was running in front of him because Achav the king was by himself and this wasn't appropriate that the king should be going by himself. So Eliyahu ran in front, although he was a prophet, but he ran in front because one should always have the aim of the melech, even if it's a king that's not an appropriate king. However, the malchus should always have an aim for it. Now, Amar Ullah says, like we mentioned before, that possibly Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen Gadol. Ullah says, Bikish Moshe Malchus. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the monarchy. But it wasn't given to him for him to have the kingdom. That's like it says the Pasuk in Shmais, that Hashem said to Moshe over there by that incident, by the snare, by the burning bush, Al Tikrav Haloim, don't come over here. Now, Ve'ein Haloim El Malchus. The word Haloim, although it's translated here, it means the monarchy. Like it says the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, that David HaMelech said, when he was told that he's going to be the king, says, Mi Anoichi Hashem Elikim Ugeim, who am I, Hashem God, etc. Ki Abisani Ad Halim, that you brought me up until here, which means that he became the king and yet the monarchy. Now, so therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Al Tikrav Haloim, was that he's not going to get the monarchy. And that must have Rava, however, he asked from the Brice that we brought on the top of the summit from the previous daf. Shmuel Omer, he says that Elisheva, on the day of when they inaugurated the Mishkan, she had five rejoicings, and one of them was that Yevama Melech, her brother-in-law, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the king. So you see, the Moshe Rabbeinu was considered the king, did get the monarchy. Amar Rava, he says, no, Loyu Lazarukama. What he wanted was, like by David, he wanted the monarchy that should be for his descendants, that it should pass from father to son, that he didn't get. Yeah, he himself was the Melech, but his children didn't take that over. Now that the Gemara asks, is it true that wherever it says Haloim, which you're telling me that Moshe Rabbeinu, what he wanted was not just the Melech, because he was the Melech, but he wanted Haloim, which was for all his future generations, to his descendants to get the monarchy. So is that the case that wherever it says Haloim L'dayrisu, that it means that monarchy is for future generations? But V'agabi Shol, D'chsev by Shol, that it says the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Havo'id Haloim Ish, is there going to come a man, which was referring to Shaul, and that the Hashem identified, yeah, who is Shaul, that he's going to be the king, that it says the word Haloim over there regarding the kingdom, and rather who in, but there was only Shaul who was the king, Zareloi, his descendants did not. David HaMelech ended up taking it over, and his descendants took it. So how could it say by Shaul the word Haloim regarding his monarchy? So Ibrahim, if you want, you could say Hohava Ishbaishas. He did have a descendant of Ishbaishas who was king for a short time, and therefore you could say Haloim Baishal too. Or Ibrahim, if you want, you could say that Shani Shal is different, the Afila Begaveilakum, that even his own kingdom, his own monarchy, he didn't last with. In other words, the word Haloim, you're right, means an everlasting monarchy. But when it was given to Shal, it was given to him that it should be for all his future descendants. But he himself caused that it should be taken away from his descendants, and because not even his descendants didn't get it, even he didn't outlive his own monarchy. That he says, when greatness is defined and given out to a person, it's given to him and his generations and his descendants for all future generations. Like it says the pasuk in Eif. It says, Hashem does not turn away his eye from a righteous person. And the kings for the throne. And like the pasuk there concludes in Eiv Lamed Vav Zayin, v'yeshivim lanetzach, that he will sell them there for eternity. V'yigbo, and he'll elevate them. So you see that when someone gets the gedula, it's lunetzach, it's for eternity. It's not just for him, it's for all future generations. But like the pasuk there ends, v'yigbo, v'mheges daite, but if he becomes haughty, if he gets a large ego from that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meshpil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take him down. Shlomo says in the pasuk after that, that v'im, that if, that his haughtiness causes him to be asurim bezikim, tied in chains, yilochtun mechav le'oyne, then he's going to be trapped in the ropes of poverty, meaning he's going to be taken down. And that's what happened with Shaul, where that, although it was Paisa Gedula forever, but even he himself didn't make it out, and therefore the idea is that he lost it, but he did have Haloim. But because the term Haloim means Ladarius, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, and that he wasn't given, although he was the Melech, but it wasn't for his future generations. Now the Gemara goes back to the Halach of our previous Mishnah. The Mishnah, opening up this parak, said that regarding different people, regarding if they're eligible to divide the kachim that are given out in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah told us, Bali Mumin, being Bali Mumin Bechulu, any type of blemish kain, whether it's a passing blemish, a permanent blemish, he's Chalkin Va'eichlin, he does divide, he gets a portion of the karbonis that are divided, and he gets to eat it. So the Gemara says, Menon Mili, where do we know this from? Because as we'll see, that at times the one who cannot do the Avodah, which a Bali Mumin cannot do the Avodah, doesn't get the portion. So what do we know that he does? Says the Gemara, the term I learned in the Brice, so the Pasuk says, Kol Zachar. Now the Gemara is going to bring three psukim that say Kol Zachar, that it comes to include Bal Mum, because it says every male. Every means, what do you mean every male? Even someone that we would think is not eligible. So the first Pasuk, Kol Zachar, is brought by the Pasuk in Parashat Sab that talks about the Mincha, the flower offering. It says every male, L'rabbis Bal Mum, to include even a blemish kain. Now Lamai, what's it coming to include him for? Ilachila, if you would think it's that he could eat from the mincha, meaning if let's say his friend, his colleague, that from his base of, from his day, that his from family has the avodah, that his friend, he got a portion and he's inviting him to eat with him, that he could go ahead and eat with him, but not that he gets his own portion. The pasuk already says clearly in Sefer Vayikra that the Baal Mum gets to eat from kachim, lechem elikav mekachak kachim yechel, the bread of his God from the holiest of holies, he could eat. So we know the Baal Mum could eat. Rather, it must be telling us that he even gets to take a portion, like one of the kosher kanim, from the karbanos that are brought that day, from the mincha. Now, Tanya Dichler, in another brisa, Kol Zachar, here's the second pasuk. This is by Kar Mechatas. Every male, L'rabbis Bala Mumin, that comes to include a blemish kain. Now, Lamai, what's including him for? Ilachila, if it's for eating, Hari Kvar Amma already says that the Bala Mumin eats from the kachim. Ilachaluk, if it's to get a portion, Hari Kvar Amma already brought the pasuk previously by the mincha. Rather, it's Shiachal. You would think, I would only think to include an unblemished kind that later on became blemished. That he could still go ahead and get a portion. If someone was always a blemished kind, how do we know that even he is eligible to get a portion in the karbanis? That's what this pasuk, the second pasuk, comes to include. Every male, including even such a bamum. In another brisa, Kol Zachar, again, the third time it says, and every male, which is by the Karban Asher. And these brises are brought in Teres Kanim, which expound these psokim. L'rabbis Baal Mum comes to include a blemish kain. Now, Lamai, what's it coming to include him for? Ilachila, if it's for eating the kachim, harikvar amah. There's already a pasuk that tells that. Vilachaluka, if it's to divide, harikvar amah. Already we have the pasuk by mincha. Vil Baal Mum mekar, if it's to regarding that a kain that was always blemished, harikvar amah. Already brought the pasuk called Zachar by Chatos. Rather, it's Sheyachal, because we would think, Einli Ila Baal Mum Kavua. I would only know a permanently blemished Kayin that he gets a portion. If it's only a passing blemish, how do we know that he also gets a portion in the karbanas? That's why this pasuk by Ashim comes to include every male, including such a balmum. On that, the Gemara's klapi lie. Which direction are you going? What do you mean? If anything, you would think that a temporarily blemished kayin would be more permitted than a permanently blemished kayin. Permanently blemished, he's totally invalidated. So why are you saying you would think it's only balmum kavu and not balmum oiver, and that's what's coming to include? To the contrary, it should go the other direction. So Mavsheish says you're right. Epoch, you have to switch it around. That really, it should say that you would think only balmum oiver. How do you know even balmum kavua, permanently blemished kohen, gets it? That's what the pasuk called zachar by Hashem comes to include. But Rav Hashem, he says loylem loy tebech. No, you don't have to switch it around. It actually would have been the way we said it. Then the itzrich, and you need a pasuk to expound as follows. Salka daitach, I mean, you would have thought to say that the first pasuk, the one by Chatas, would be including only a permanently blemished kohen. That's where the Torah is permitting for him to get a portion of the karbanas. Why? Because the Torah is concerned because he never has a moment of validity of doing that vayda. But a bamum oiver who tomorrow will be eligible, then there as we continue tamid beis, actually I would say ki tami, then the bamum oiver should be like a kohen that's tami, that is mat tami, just like a kohen that's tami. As long as he's not tar, he's not allowed to even eat from the karbanas. And that's because the kohen that's tummy, tomorrow he will be tar. So you have a moment of validity. So we're not going to make dispensations for you. So you can't even eat from it. Avhainami, we would think also by the balmum over, as long as he's not healed, because he will be healed at one point, it's just a passing blemish. So as long as he's not healed, he cannot even eat, let alone get a portion. That's what we're learning from the third pasuk, that no, not only Balmum Kabu, but even the Balmum Iber, he is going to be eligible, not like the case of the Kohen that's Tommy. Now the Gemara continues that the Mishnah said, whoever is not fit to do the Avodah, he doesn't get a portion in the Karbanas. That is the Gemara of Aloy, but not. But Vahari Balmum, but we have the Aloch in the Mishnah that we were just talking about, the Mishnah said right before. It talked about a blemished Kohen, the Leiro Avodah, who is not fit to do the Avodah. And yet V'chaylik, he gets a portion, as we just said. V'su, another question is. So, but the inference is also difficult. It sounds like, oh, haro l'avayda chaylik. But if he is fit to do that avayda, then he will get a portion. Harei tamei b'karban tzibur. But if a kain that's tamei, regarding a carbon tzibur, which we said in the beginning of the parak of Tzadik Tes Amabez, that he does not get a portion. Haro l'avayda. By karban tzibur, a kain tamei could do that avayda. V'ein l'chaylik, and he doesn't get a portion. So that says the Gemara, no, although the words in the Mishnah are kol she'ein ro la'avoda, it's ro la'chilo kama. What it means to say is, whoever is fit for eating gets a portion, whoever is not fit for eating doesn't get a portion. So therefore, by a tummy, by karban tzibur, although he's fit to do the avoda, he's not fit to eat because he's tummy. And therefore, that's why he doesn't get a portion. And that is the Gemara b'vahari katan. But what do you mean? You have a minor, the ro la'chilo, who's fit to eat from kachim, and he does not get a portion. Like the pasuk says, as the Gemara expounds on Menachas Davayin Gimel Menalv, it says, Ish ka'achem, every man like his brother. As the Gemara Kedushin Daf Gimel Menalv says, that it says, Ish ka'achem, Ish, the word Ish, is a man, he gets a portion, even if he's blemished, but not a minor who is not considered a man yet, he, even if he's unblemished, he doesn't get a portion. But why? You said the primary criterion is if you could eat. So that says the Gemara, no. Ha, this inference that you're making, that the Mishnah says, the way we're amending it, says if he's not eligible to eat, then he doesn't get a portion. So you're inferring, oh, but if he is eligible to eat, then he does get a portion? And that says the Gemara, Loi Katani. That, the Mishnah doesn't tell us for you to ask the question, oh, what are you going to do with the case of the minor? In other words, the Gemara is saying, don't make that inference. The Mishnah is not coming to say the inference. It's coming to tell us the halacha of the chiddush of the halacha itself. Whoever's not fit to eat will not get a portion. But not to make the inference, but if you do eat, you do get a portion. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. A minor, although he could eat, does not get a portion. But whoever cannot eat does not get a portion. So that says the Gemara, hashda as lahachi, now that you came to that you had to answer for the amended version of the Mishnah, because to answer the question for the minor, then la'ilum could come and make kar. Then we could go back the way we originally said how the text of our Mishnah actually is, that the idea is whoever's fit to do the avodah, to do the service, and not regarding the way we amended it regarding whoever's fit to eat it. And imishim tamei, and if the question you had, oh, well then what are you going to do with the case of the tamei? And that says the Gemara the same thing. Tamei lekatani. Doesn't say anything about the case of the kohen that's tamei. In other words, you wanted to make an inference, oh, it says whoever's not fit to do the avodah doesn't get the portion. So you wanted to infer, oh, whoever is fit to do that avodah does get a portion. Therefore, you had a difficulty. What do you do with a case of tamei by karbanas tzibur? And that's the Gemara. That's not what the Mishnah was talking about. Don't make that inference, because the Mishnah was teaching just the chiddush of the case of when you're not fit to do that, but you don't get a portion. But not to make the inference that if you are fit to do that, but you do get a portion. And therefore, it could be a tamei b'karbanas tibur, although he's fit to do the avodah, does not get a portion in the karbanas. And v'imishim b'almom, and if regarding the first question that we asked, that was the second question, where I had asked two questions. That was the second question. In regards to the first question, which was regarding the blemish kohen, who does not do the avodah, and yet he does get a portion, that's, as we said, an omen alf, rachman rabbi. That's because the Torah has a ribuy of kol zachar that includes the b'almom. But that's not that doesn't contradict the law. The law is, you have to be fit to do the avodah to get a portion. Balmum, the Torah explicitly, Gzesekasa, comes to include. And regarding the inference, and I was saying, no, don't make that inference, because it's not coming to tell you an inference. It's just telling you, if you're not fit to do the avodah, you don't get a portion. But you could be fit to do the avodah, then you still wouldn't get a portion. Now the Mishnah said, continuing on who is eligible or not to get a portion, said, Afilo tamei b'shas zrik is damim. Even if the kohen was tamei only during the time of the throwing of the blood of the carbon, but the tarbisha sekta chalavim at an evening time when he already immersed himself and he already had sundown, he was tar at the time when they were sacrificing the sacrificial parts, the fats on the mizbeach. In the chaylik, he's not going to get a portion because at the time of the primary avaydis, which was the zrikas adam, he wasn't eligible to do the avaydis because he was tamei, and therefore he's not going to get a portion. Now the Gemara makes an inference, hatar bishas zrikas damim, but let's say it was the other way around. Let's say he was tar during the daytime at the time of the spraying of the blood of the carbon. That evening he became tamei at the time when they were sacrificing the fats of that carbon. Sounds like chalik, then he would get a portion. Says the Gemara, and that's, if that's the case, masnit like abashal. Our Mishnah is not like abashal. It's time like learning the brayis abashal. He says la'olam ena oichel atchei tar. The kohen is not going to eat from this carbon until he was pure. Mishas rika, from the time of when the blood of the carbon was being thrown. Achas hektach lavim, up until the time of the sacrificing of the fats of that carbon. Because the Amakra, because the Pasuk says in the Yikra, Hamakar is dam hashlam and the es hachelev, the one who sacrifices the blood of the carbon shlam and its fats, which tells us that even the sacrificing the fats, he has to be eligible to do the avodah to eat from the meat of that carbon. Now, the Tanakama of our Mishnah, however, he held that no, when it says in the Pasuk, lo yisi yashoyk hayom en lamana, that for that kohen is going to be the right thigh that's going to be from a portion, that's only going back on the part of the Pasuk that says that on the one that's makriv de dam hashlamim, which is regarding the zrikas adam. Because actually we find another Pasuk that seems to indicate that that's the primary one. Like the Pasuk says in the Yikra Zayin, it says, la kohen hazerik is dam hashlamim, but the kohen who throws the blood of the shlamim, lo yia, he gets it. Now, there it doesn't say anything about sacrificing, about the haktaras chalavim. And therefore we could see that from that other pasuk, the primary idea is, not like Abishal, rather like the Tana of our Mishnah, that has to be regarding the zrikas adam. Now, so then, but why then in this pasuk that Abishal is bringing, does it say esa chalav? And that says Rashi, that's not coming to say regarding what he has to be eligible for. He doesn't have to be eligible tahar at the time of haktaras chalavim. Rather, it's coming to teach regarding if he agrees and acknowledges that being part of the services. As the Gemara says in Shish and Chulin, Daf Kof Lamed Beis Amud Beis, Shimon says, any kohen that does not admit to a certain avodah, he doesn't agree to it, so then he doesn't get a portion from that part of the kohuna. Like the Pasuk says, Hamakav is dam ha-shlamim, the one who sacrificed the blood of the shlamim. So, means to say that he agrees to that being an integral part of the avodah. Now, I would only know that it applies to the Zrikas Adam. How do I know to include even Hektech Halavim? That's what it says, Vesachelev, to include that too. How do I know to include all other Avodis? That's what it says, Bemnei Aaron, any Avodis given over to the sons of Aaron, any kohen that does not admit to that as being an integral part of the Avodah, he does not get a portion of that Kuhuna. But that's what the Pasuk is coming to teach, but not regarding being Ro, that's only the Dam and not the Chelev. Boy, Rav Ashi asked, according to Abishal that we just brought, and it says you need to have bitar by the zrikas adam and by the hektech lavim. So on that, his question was nitma bin taimahu. What's the halacha if he became tummy in between? And what's the question? B'shas zriku b'shas hektar bina. Do you need to have, like the pasuk says, that he should be eligible tar, whatever the eligibility is, both by the zrika and the chalavim, like the pasuk says, v'ika, and he is tar by both. Maybe no, maybe it has to be contiguous. It has to be from the time of the Zrika all the way through the Hektech Lavim that he has to be eligible. And here he wasn't, because in between he was not eligible. And that says, you want to take a letter, it's not clear what the halacha would be in that case. Now, continuing on the theme of our Mishnah, Omer Rava, he says, Hai Dina, the following halacha, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Gemirna, I learned it from Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. The Amar Babes Akisi, that he said it in the laboratory, in the bathroom. And he said as follows. He says, Dante, you could learn the following halachas. But full yom v'amar. If it's full yom, someone, that's from the halachas of our mission, the title of our parak, which was from the individuals that are not eligible regarding getting a portion in the kabbanas that day. So if it's full yom, someone that was tameh, he immersed himself that day, he already immersed, but he's waiting for sundown. He comes and he says to his friend, that's tar, from his same beis av, from the family that's doing the avodah on this day in the beis hamikdash, who they get the portions of the kabbanas and the avodah that day. He comes and tells it comes and tells the tar kayin, and he says, Tenli, give me a portion, mi mincha, from the flour offering of a regular Jew that brought it today, vaychel, and I'm going to eat from that mincha offering tonight. Now I'm not eligible, I'm a tefil yom, but tonight I'll be eligible. Give me a portion. So Amalai, so the tar says to the tefil yom, in other words, he could give him this response and say as follows. He says, wait a second. I can tell you kavachem that you don't get a portion. Imagine, in the place where you have a stronger strength of rights, bechatascha, regarding your karban chatas, meaning if a kohen sins and he's liable in the karban chatas, he could bring it and he could sacrifice it, even in not his own mishmer. Every kohen has a certain day when he gets to do the avodah. The kohen who brings the karban chatas can bring it whatever day he wants to, then the service of it and the hides of it are his. As the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Daf Kof Tesma Beis, how do you know that a kohen that comes and he sacrifices his karban at any time and any moment that he wants to? That's what the pasuk teaches, Uvo v'chol avas nafshe v'sheres. He could come whenever his heart desires and he could do the avodah. How do we know that the service and the hides, the skin of the animals are his? That's what the pasuk said, V'ish es kedosh b'lo yu, that the man's own carbon is going to belong to him. So and that says the kohen that's tar to the one that's the tefil yayim, and he says, if your karban chatas, that you have strong rights to, that whenever you want to bring it, it'll be yours, the avodah, the hide, it's all yours, yet techisecha michatas yisrael, and even there, by karban chatas, when you have a strong strength, when you bring your own, I could reject you from a chatas that a Jew brings, meaning on today, because a tefil yayim does not get a portion, as the pasuk says in the Yikravav, hakohen amachati oisiyach lano, only the kohen that does the chitur, that does the zrikas adam, he is yachlenu, which the Gemara already told us in the Tzadik 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 days, doesn't mean eating, it means yachalkenu. He gets to divide it. So, karban chatas, you have a strong stronghold, yet, from a chatas Yisrael, from when a regular Yisrael, on today when you're at full yom, you would not get a portion. So, makam shahar kachacha, so imagine a place where you have a weaker strength of rights. B'minchascha, by your own flower offering, that if, let's say, a kohen is bringing a mincha, as in the dove, and he sacrifices it. Even when you're tahar, you don't get to eat it, like the pasuk says in Mikravav, kol minchas kohen kol. The mincha of a kohen has to be totally burnt on the mizbeach. So, ain't the din shadichacha minchas yisrael? So, isn't it a kal vachomer that I can reject you from a mincha that a yisrael is bringing, as long as you're a tefil yom and you're not fit to be makriv a minchas yisrael? If by a chatas, when you get to bring your own chatas, and you have a strength in chatas, when the Yisrael brings the chatas, the kohen who's tefil yom does not get anything. So when you bring your own mincha, you don't get anything. For sure, the minchas Yisrael, you're not going to get anything, no less than the chatas Yisrael that I can reject you, for sure, by minchas Yisrael. However, on that, the tefil yom could tell back to the tar kohen, no. Umam dechitzon mechatas Yisrael, if you could reject me from the getting a portion of a chatas that Yisrael brings on the day when I'm at Tevul Yom, because kashem sheyupo koichi, you're right, although there seemingly I should have more rights, but kach yafa koichacha, but so too you also have stronger rights by your karba chatas. So yeah, there you could reject me because you also have stronger rights in the chatas of Yisrael. But tadecheni mincha, but do you think that you could reject me from the karba mincha? No. Shekashem shahayr kaychi, just like, yeah, there I have a weaker strength because, yeah, my mincha is totally burnt, so I don't even have such strong rights in the mincha, but kachayr kachacha. But, yeah, you also have weaker strengths, so maybe you can't push me away from that, and I would get a portion of Minchas Yisrael. And therefore, harei u'aymer, he could tell him, but and this pasuk is by the mincha, by the flower offering that we're discussing, it says, l'koyin hamakrev oisoloisia, the koyin that sacrifices it, for him it should be, bohakrev ha'achal. Come sacrifice it and eat it. You can't because you're a tefil yom, and therefore you don't get a portion to eat. So continues the Gemara. Let's say he tells him, Tenli mechatas Yisrael v'eichel. The first case it was Toma was a tefil yom, was telling the kohen tar, give me a portion from a mincha. Now he's telling him, as a tefil yom, give me a portion from the chatas, the karma chatas that a Jew brought today, a Yisrael, a non-kohen, and I'll eat it tonight when I'm tar. On that, Amalei, the tar could tell back to the tefil yom that no, you don't get a portion. Why? The Kayan Tar could say, well, if in a situation when I have a weaker positioning, b'minchasi, by my flour offering, because the kohen tor, when he brings the flour offering, it gets totally burnt. It doesn't get anything in it. And still I could reject you from getting a mincha of Yisrael, like we just brought the pasuk before. So makam shiyupakoychi, so when I have a stronger strength, b'chatasi, by my own karbechata, says the kohen tor, I bring it, I get it only myself. In the din shadichacha mechata Yisrael, isn't it a kavachem that for sure I could reject you, that you don't get a portion from the chatas of Yisrael, where you can't even bring the carbon? And if by mincha I could push you away when I have a weaker positioning, for sure by chatas, when I have a stronger positioning, I could reject you. On that Amalei, on that the Tfuyim could tell him, no. Umam should the chisanim mechas Yisrael, no. Maybe by the mincha of Yisrael you could reject me. Shekashem shahir kachacha, because yeah, although you have a weaker strength, but kachar kachim, because that's because I also have a weaker strength. So therefore you could push me away. But tadicheni mechatzis Yisrael, do you think you could reject me from the chatzis of Yisrael? Where although shekeshem sheyupa koichacha, although there, yeah, you have a stronger positioning, but kachiyafa koichi, so do I also have a stronger positioning. When I bring my own karma chatzis, I also get the whole thing. Maybe there, when the chatzis Yisrael brings it, I would get, even though I can't do the avoda. And therefore, Harayoimer, he tells him the pasuk, and it says, by the karma chatzis, hakoin hamachato isayachlanu, the kohen that does the avoda, the chita, the spraying of the blood, he gets to eat it. So he tells him, yeah, come, do the avodah, need it. You can't because you're Tfol Yom, and therefore you don't get a portion in the carbon either. So he continues, Amalei, let's say the Tfol Yom tells to the Kohen Tar, tell me mechaz v'sheik, give me from the kachim kalim, from the carbon shlamim, give me the breast and the thigh, to give me a portion just like you, and v'eichel, and I'll eat it tonight in the evening when I'm Tar, when there's already sundown. So then Amalei, so the Kohen Tar could tell him, no. Imagine in a case where you have a stronger positioning, you the Tfol Yom. When you bring your own karma chatas, you get it all yourself. Yet today when you're a Tfol Yom, I reject you as we brought before, you don't get a portion of the karma chatas of Yisrael. So in a place where you have a weaker positioning, b'shlamim, why is it considered weaker positioning by shlamim? When you get when there's a karban chatas, they can't get to eat from all the meat. They only the kanim eat the meat of the kachim, the chatas. But by shlamim, all you get is the chaz v'shaik, is the breast and the thigh. So if there you even get a weaker positioning, ain't a din shadichacha, isn't a kavachim that for sure they can reject you? If I can reject you from a chatas Yisrael, for sure I can reject you from a shlam of Yisrael. On that, the Tfol Yom could tell him, no. Ma'am dechisan mechatas, maybe, why could you reject me by the chatas of Yisrael? Shekein hoire koichi etzel nasha bavale. Because there I have a weaker positioning. Even when I'm tahar, I'm not allowed to give from the meat of the kadshi, kadshim, like chatas, for my wife and my slaves to eat from. Because it's only for male kahan that could eat it. So there I have a weaker positioning. Tadachin mechaz of a sheik, but who said you could reject me then from the chaz of a sheik of a shlamim? Shekein yupo koichi etzel nasha bavale. Where there I have a stronger positioning that I'm allowed to give that even to my wives and my slaves to eat from. So therefore, it's not a kavuchema. So harei yoyma, so the kohen tar could tell the Tfol Yom, no, you don't get, because it says in the pasuk, l'kohen hazerik is dam ha-shlamim lo yiyeh, to the kohen that throws the blood of the shlam, he gets it, which is, bozark v'achol, come spray and then you'll get, and you'll be eat. Since you can't do the avodah, you don't get a portion either. So says Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, yatsa Tfol Yom, so the Tfol Yom goes out exasperated, Kula v'chamorav, he has all his kavuchemers that he wanted to expound for his benefit to say, why are you rejecting me? Here maybe should be different. He walks out with all his kavuchemers al roisha on his head, and einin miminoi, so this was the Tfol Yom. He has the einin who lost a close relative on his right side, and he has mechusa kapor mismoili, as someone who is lacking atonement, who although he already had sundown, but he didn't bring their karbanis of the eighth day, or whatever it is, the following day, on his left side, meaning because they also get rejected from these psukim, that they're not, because they're not fit to do the avodah, they also don't get a portion. So he walks out exasperating, as the only on the right side and mechuzik on his left side, they all leave in this insulted type of way, that because they're actually excluded from getting the portions from the karbanis because they're not fit to do the avodah. As we said in the Mishnah, kol she'ein ro'eh l'avodah is ein ro'eh, he doesn't get a portion. Now, Parach Rav Achai, he asks that let the Tfol Yom tell the Kohen Tar. In other words, he's asking, why didn't Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon include another category? He mentioned the Mincha, he mentioned the Chatas Yisrael, he mentioned the Shlamim, but why didn't he say another one that would fit into this pattern? The Tfol Yom should tell the Kohen Tar as follows. Temli mibachar v'eichel. He should have said, give me from the firstborn animal, and I'll eat it in the evening. Mishum de Amalei, so the reason why he wouldn't be able to tell him, is because the Kohen Tar would tell him, no. Ma b'malkum shayre kaychi, if we're at, when I have a weaker positioning, which is b'chatas, the Kohen that's Tahar, is telling the Kohen that Tfil Yayim, imagine by the case when I have a weaker positioning, by the Kohen b'chatas. Why? Where is it? What does it mean weaker positioning? He can bring him whenever he wants to. He can do whatever he wants to because itzel noshev avodai, because he can't share the meat with his wives and his slaves. Yet, instill the chisicha mechatzis Yisrael. I could still reject you when a Yisrael brings a kar mechatzis that you don't get a portion, as we brought the pasuk before. So makom shiyubu koichi, in the place where I have a stronger positioning, but b'chayr, by this carbon that you want a portion from the firstborn animal, the kuli delihi, where it's all mine, the b'chayr goes totally to the kayin, ain't the din shadachacham imene, isn't it a kar b'chayr, that for sure I can reject you? You see, I have such a stronger positioning over there. For sure that I can reject you from. However, on that, the Tfil Yayim could answer back and say, no, umam dechisan mechatas. No, maybe you could reject me from the chatas. Shekashem shahar kachacha, because yeah, although there you have a weaker positioning, but kachar kaychi, I also have a weaker positioning. So therefore, you could still reject me. Tedechinim mebuchar, who said you could reject me from the firstborn animal? Shekashem shiupakaychacha, just like you have a stronger positioning, that all of the buchar goes to the kain, kach yupakaychi. So too, it gives me a stronger positioning. And therefore, it wouldn't be a kal v'chaymer. So therefore, says Rav Achai, then he would the tar kain would tell the Tfil Yayim, Harei u'emer, the pasuk says by b'chayr, as damim tizrik al mizbeach, the blood should be sprayed on the mizbeach, v'eschelbam takter, and the fat should be sacrificed, u'v'sar mi'yelach, and the meat will be for you. So therefore, the kain tar should tell the kain that's Tfil Yayim, bazar g'vachol, come spray and eat it. And you can't, because not roi la'vayda. So that's why you don't get a portion. Now, although actually the Bechayr is not like other Karbanos, it's actually not divided amongst the Beis Av, because it's not shared to the Anshei Mishmer, rather the Yisrael who's bringing the Bechayr gives it to whichever kind he wants to, just like Truma and the Pidyon of the Bechayr. However, what Rav Achai was saying was, but what you could learn out from here, is that you cannot give the Bechayr to anyone, including the Tfil Yayim, who's not fit to do the Avodah at that time. So therefore, although it wouldn't be exactly the way it was said, but basically you could have the same type of discussion where the Tfil Yayim would be saying, hey, give it to me. And he would say, no, of course you can't. And he would say, no, of course I could. And therefore it would ultimately coming down to the pasuk, which would say, no, you're not fit to do that vayda of the Bukhari, therefore you don't get a portion. So why didn't Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon say this too besides the mincha and the chatas and the shlam? Says the Gemara, but the idach, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon would tell you that no, parach, there would still be a question. Because miksiv uvisarm la koin hazerik, does it say that the meat goes to the koin who sprays it? No, uvisarm yielach siv, it says that the meat will be for you. Afil a koin acher, could be even for a different koin. And if it's not a rai from the pasuk, that's only for a koin that's fit to do the avodah, and therefore he didn't bring it down as a definite source for that. The koin that's only fit to do the avodah by the bukhar gets it, and therefore it could be that he would still get, even though he's not fit to do the avodah. Now the Gemara asks, however, on this whole incident that was mentioned, but how did Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon do this, where the halacha was said over, that Rabbi said, I learned this from Elazar ben Shimon, because he said it over in the Beis Akisi, in the laboratory. On that, I was thinking, how did he do this? But Rabbi Bechana Rabbi Yechanan says, Bechamakam Mutalahar, a person's allowed to think about Torah wherever he is, chutz mi merchatz umi Beis Akisi, except for the bathhouse and for the lavatory, where one cannot even think, let alone go ahead and say a whole Talmudic discourse. And that's the Gemara, Allah Ansay Shani, where it's against a person's control. That's different because his teachings were so accustomed in his mouth that without his control, he was thinking in words of Torah, and that's what he was saying in the bathroom, and that's what Rabbi heard. But although Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon said in the bathroom, it doesn't mean one is permitted. But if it's la'ansay, if it's beyond the person's control, that's different. That the person is not held liable for, and that's why he was saying over these words of Torah in the bathroom, which again relates to the halacha of a mishnah regarding the Tfil Yayim, which the Gemara brought those three sources where learned out we thought maybe it would be kal v'chomer either way. And that we said it's not. And therefore, you have psukim to show you that the Tfil Yayim doesn't get from a mincha, doesn't get from the chatas, doesn't get from the shlamim, and possibly, which was a Gemara's discussion regarding so too from the Bechor, that it's only something that's right to do the Avaida that he gets from the portion, but the Tfil Yayim is not fit to do the Avaida, and so too the Einim, Chutz HaKippurim, doesn't get a portion in the Karbanos.